My name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Welcome back to Studio A. My apologies for last week's episode. I know it sounded a little muddy and a little weird. I actually did the episode under the assumption that everything was tuned right, but apparently that wasn't the case, and as it is, we've had some computer changes, and I've had some equipment changes, and I'm trying not to make too many excuses here, but the way it kind of came together is that I was under the assumption everything was going to be right, and apparently not. As a result, I'm still trying to get some of the finer points technologically worked out so this thing sounds a lot better for you. I do realize that last week sounded a little muddy. There wasn't a whole lot I could do with it in post-production, but this time around, it seems to sound better right now, so hopefully things will be pretty good. It's, you know, it's all part of the, you know, when you produce something, you keep in mind that you want a good substantial quality of audio. You know, the old adage, shit in, shit out. It's the same thing with anything. It's like if you're developing a website, if you have bad code results in a bad end product. Same thing in radio. If you've got something shitty happening on the air that comes from the studio, it's going to sound shitty when it hits the air, and there's really not much you can do about it. So we work with it, and we try and be as patient as we possibly can with it, and strive for good, well, not perfection. You want to strive for, I guess, perfection. It's just a matter of putting it together into the right, I don't know. I know what sounds good. I know what sounds bad. that's just what you just have to do. So, you know, I guess it's a form of editing in a way, done in advance. Of course, with this program, I don't carry notes. I don't do any of that kind of thing. I want this to be as freeform and as organic as possible, and it seems to be working out fine that way. I mean, hell, 70,000 subscribers. Thank you very much for that, by the way. And it seems like, you people like hearing what I have to say. So that's a good thing. And today, this particular episode, I wanted to talk a little bit about the phenomena of censorship. And now, I'm not talking about censorship on a political level, even though you can probably make those conclusions. I'm talking about censorship on what we as broadcasters lay out there. Now, you know, this is an internet-driven program. It's available on the web exclusively. It's not found in any type of terrestrial broadcast sense. You would be fools to be able to do that. Here's a prime example. If this particular episode was being broadcast, I wouldn't be able to say, well, fuck that. It wouldn't work. That would be edited. You can't say that on the you have to, because of the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, they have decided years and years ago that offensive language should not and could not be broadcast, with the penalties being fairly severe. You could, in theory, ultimately lose your license as a broadcaster, your ability to put a signal onto the airwaves for public consumption, if you consistently violated those rules. That was the whole point of the FCC in its existence. Now, not so much. I mean, with all the talk of net neutrality, a free place to exchange ideas, free information back and forth, we've all heard the fight. The president of the United States actually set his foot down and said, no, we should not get away from net neutrality. We should maintain net neutrality. That's a good thing, because in essence, you know, and I could do a whole hour on it, but what you're talking about here is cable or internet service providers, ISP, cable companies, telephone companies, things like that. They were arguing that they should be able to collect more money from people who use more bandwidth, thereby kind of slowing things down when it comes to the ability for you, the consumer, the customer, to get what you want, whether it be Netflix, which is web-driven, a lot of web television. Most of television is starting to really aim toward the web, things like Apple TV, Roku, Hulu. There's a ton of them out there. And when you have the battle for the amount of data that is being shipped from one spot to the other, it creates a, an interesting financial thing for those who want to make more money off of it. And it, as always, it falls into your lap as the consumer to have to foot the bill for it or put up with it on a political level. So obviously, those of you who listen to this program would be in favor of net neutrality. You don't want to have to deal with the fact that you've streamed X amount of programs like this one or television or video over the course of several months and not be able to have to pay any extra for that. Throttling is what is the term that has been used time and time again for such things. You don't want your stuff to be throttled. You don't want to be denied access to a movie because you've consumed so much bandwidth in your home. It's what you pay for. It's what the service is for. But they want you to pay extra to be able to access that much more information. So, like it or not, what you think of the president is really has no bearing on the fact that when his point of view was that all of the internet should be accessible. Because if you think about it on a larger level, you're getting into a very sticky problem. If you control the internet here in the United States, then you become like China. And the things that, and obviously in China, they don't do as much business online as we do here in this end of the hemisphere. This side of the ocean, I should say. In Europe, they rely heavily on the internet. Our banking system is built with the internet specifically in mind. Entertainment, of course, like this show, HBO, Netflix, Hulu, all those, they work on it. E-commerce is a big thing. Amazon, one of the largest retailers on the planet, relies solely on the internet. And without net neutrality, they would be at a loss. Best Buy is closing stores in favor of more internet-developed business from their end. The shipping companies should really like all that. And that's, you know, neither here nor there. But being able to decide how much information you should have on the internet is barbaric, and that is a form of censorship. We don't think about it that often, but that it is. The First Amendment to the United States Constitution guarantees the right to have a freedom of speech and religion. Freedom of speech doesn't mean that you can say anything you want, although it is fairly broad. It can be argued that terrestrial radio, FM, AM radio, does not get the opportunity to have freedom of speech because, by God, it is, you can't be cussing up there. Same thing with television. You can't have that. The point of policing that was a matter of what people would find patently offensive. Trust me, there's a ton of people out there that look for any reason to be offended by anything somebody else does or says. The Parents Television Council is a prime example of that. They are the watchdog group to say you can't do this or can't say this on television. It becomes a frightening thing when you put that kind of power into another person's hands. I just called this up here, the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States, and I'm going to read it, quote, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Your freedom of speech means that the government can't say, you can't say this, you can't say that. Now, I understand with language, yes, that's probably a good thing. I think it's outdated. We have our issues. The Parents Television Council got all upset over an incident that occurred several weeks ago when it was around Halloween when the program, the children's program, It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, had aired. And shortly thereafter, the network that aired it, I believe it was ABC, ran the show Scandal, which started with a very hot and steamy sex scene. Within about 30 seconds of one show ending, the children's show, into that. The Parents Television Council got upset and have been raising holy hell ever since. Now, personally, I think that the Parents Television Council need to calm down quite a bit over this sort of thing. They get worked up about that kind of thing because it is not the government's job to raise your children. I thoroughly believe that. It is not my job to raise your children. It's your job to raise your children. You wouldn't want me raising your children. If you have problems with what your kids are seeing on the television, then you limit that. You watch that. Now, their argument was that Mommy and Daddy would have to be pretty quick with the remote to go from the Pumpkin Show, the Charlie Brown thing, into Scandal. You'd have to move fairly quickly. They didn't, and that happened. There was no nudity, per se. It was just a kind of a salacious scene. Most kids that would be into that sort of thing would probably not know what the hell was going on. They wouldn't care. They're kids. Of course, last research that I have seen, more and more children are not even watching television because they're consuming everything online. Because Mommy and Daddy bought them a tablet or a computer of some sort. But because of everything that's out on the web, part of net neutrality would probably dictate that they could censor for that kind of thing. And we don't need that either. And that's the whole point. Why should the internet be censored? That's not my job. It's not your job. It's your job as a parent. It's my job as a parent if I have a child around. Watch what's going on. It's different. It's different in this day and age. I don't have children, so I can't imagine how difficult that sort of thing would be in this day and age. Having been a child, I don't know what it would have been like to grow up in an area, in a world, of course, knowing what I know now, of constantly being around a camera of some sort or some recording device in the world of social media. It's tough being a kid already. It's even harder when you've got social media happening out there. These kids are tough, though. They're figuring it out. And so are the parents, reluctantly. But here's my thing about censorship. If you were to, and it's a funny world we live in. If you were to go online and find, I don't know, say video of one of the journalists who have been beheaded by ISIS and post that to your social media for whatever reason you would want to do that. There are people who do get off on that kind of thing. I'm not judging. It's just, that's your thing. It's not mine. I can imagine what that looks like. I don't need to see it. But if they can post that up on Facebook, and I've seen it, and there's really not too many hackles are raised about it. We do realize that the world out there that we live in is very cold and very, very difficult. And it's very cruel and bloody and violent. However, the second somebody shows a boob on national television, then all hell broke loose. Remember Janet Jackson and the Super Bowl incident with Justin Timberlake? The famous quote-unquote wardrobe malfunction. No, it was a malfunction of people with taste is really kind of all that really boiled down to. And it was really no big deal. But the Parents Television Council got in on it, jumped heavily into the FCC's lap, demanding some type of answer. And they got an answer. And as a result, things like, I mean, they came down, the FCC came down on everybody. Any type of broadcaster, television, you know, broadcast television. I'm talking about over-the-air television, not cable. It's a big difference. Over-the-air television should not be running these sorts of things, especially during a family show like the Super Bowl. Quite frankly, nobody was really all that offended about it. I wasn't. I saw the video later, and I was like, that was it? This is what started all of this? Yeah, it started a lot. In reaction to such things, because we live in a world that is reactionary, we don't do anything until something else happens. The FCC came down fairly heavily on all broadcasters, including radio stations, and they were starting to really clamp down on euphemism and, some dirty talk that is done in cutesy sort of ways. and that they were taking all of the complaints seriously and even raised the fines for utterances of filthy words. If you think about it, and it's been a while since I've seen the rules, and they may have reduced the fines, but at one point, if you said the word shit on FM radio and somebody complained and the FCC upheld the complaint, you could be fined as a broadcaster about $500,000, which the station was sure shit not going to. I mean, they would have to pay it, obviously, but they would come after your ass as the guy who said it. You'd have to pay it back or pay part of it. That's a lot of money. And radio people don't make that kind of money. But we have these people out there who look so hard into these sorts of things, and they want to find a way to be offended. They want to say, well, this is awful. This can't happen. This, you know, that whole thing with Charlie Brown and Scandal. This is not fair to us as parents. However, you're the ones that are sitting there watching Game of Thrones with your children and having to bear witness to the violence and the nudity and the graphic sex, and don't raise a hackle about it because you pay a monthly subscription to HBO and you try to, hey, let's get the kids to bed so we can watch this show. Perhaps you're that parent, or you're that other parent who says, hey, come on, kids, check it out. It's boobs. That's your business, not mine. And then you have organizations that will try and self-censor. These are the people, like Facebook, let's use them for an example, that let's just say I have a person who likes to get naked in the studio, and I take a picture of her and her big boobs, and I don't pixelate anything. I don't censor the image. And I just go ahead and post a topless shot of a young woman onto Facebook, with her permission, of course. And all these horny guys grab the shot and they're sharing it. It goes all over the place. Facebook would shut me down. They would put me in what they call Facebook jail for a little while because I broke their terms of service. And rightfully so. There's a lot of children on Facebook. There again, I don't censor myself on Facebook either. I'll use foul language. I don't put dirty pictures up there. There's no point in it. Now, let's just take that same picture, and let's say I go back and I pixelate a little bit of it. Pixelate puts the little blurred images in the proper parts. And I post that picture. Now I'm running a different type of risk. They might allow it to go through. They might not allow it to go through. Now, that whole might part is an interesting part of the whole question. Case in point, Kim Kardashian had that whole series of photographs, now very famous, called the Break the Internet photographs. It was done by Paper Magazine. And it started with her bare butt. Actually, it started with that champagne glass resting on her butt and the champagne bottle that she's holding on her front side and the champagne going over her head into the glass. I mean, it's whatever. It's actually a recreation of a much older photograph. But that shot was out there, and then it's her dropping her dress and her butt hanging over the top of her dress, and that goes out. Some television outlets that were picking up the story tastefully blurred the images of her crack, and rightfully so. I don't need to see her crack. She's got a big butt. Great. Fantastic. Next, move along. But the point of the matter is that I don't really want to see it. But if I'm an active participant in social media, I can't get away from it. Therefore, the question is laid out there. Should there be some sort of body that prevents you from seeing that? Well, you know, probably not. What really got an interesting conversation going was the fact that E! Online, part of the E! Entertainment television group, had taken the picture of Kim Kardashian's frontal nudity, barely pixelated her pink parts, and posted that. And that got around. That was shared all over the place. I saw that, it was on their page, and I don't subscribe to their page, but people had picked it up and shared it, so it wound up ultimately on a lot of Facebook feeds to whatever salacious comments people wanted to write. The point being that, and Jeff Janowitz brought it up the other day on the air, and it's a very good point. If you were consuming your social media on a phone or tablet, a smaller device, you wouldn't necessarily see the pixelation. And it was so well done that your brain sort of filled in the blanks. And it would be, well, goodness. Now, I'm not opposed to nudity per se, but if you're going to jump on me about taking a stripper and putting her image up on my Facebook page, as opposed to E! Online taking a famous person and putting them on their Facebook page, they get away with it because they get more traffic. And because they get more traffic, more people are going to be tuned toward Facebook to see what's going on. Therefore, Facebook ultimately benefits from it. Whereas if I do it, maybe not so much. I don't have the traffic that E! Online has. Or Paper Magazine now has. Or the Kardashians. Or whomever. Pardon the pun, it's tit for tat. Sauce for the goose, if you will. Why should one company get away with it more than another? Well, this goes back to what net neutrality kind of is about. Larger organizations that provide content and traffic have a little bit more of a leeway when it comes to what they can and cannot post, image-wise, text-wise, video-wise, because it ultimately benefits them, the larger party. I run a small business. In podcast terms, I have a rather small show. But the second I post something like that, I'm going to be thrown into Facebook jail because I broke their terms of service. I didn't break the internet. I broke their terms of service. Which, by the way, just so you know, Kim Kardashian did not break the internet. It was far broken long before her big ass came along. But that's the beauty of the web. It's supposed to be sort of broken. It doesn't have to be perfect. It shouldn't be perfect. It's perfect as it is. It should have its flaws. It should have everything up there. If you want to find it, you can seek it out. It is the collective knowledge of all of humankind, for the most part. If you have a question about anything, it can find it for you. And you can consume that information, and now it'll be in your head. Well, that's a good thing. The old adage about I learn something new every day. If part of what you are trying to learn is the average rainfall amount on a yearly basis of the Atacama Desert in Chile, and you looked it up and it said zero, you'd be astonished, going, wow, they don't get any rain at all. In fact, it is the driest place on earth. You can look it up. See, there you go. You learned something, and you didn't even have to go to the web to do it. But I know some of you probably will, just out of curiosity, find out more about the Atacama Desert, if you hadn't heard anything about it. There was a mummy there that was some 700 years old, but she's so well-preserved because she's all dried out. They don't get any rain. They haven't had rain in, a millennia. But that's my point. Trivial information or basic knowledge of things that you would need can be found on the web, and that's where it should belong. One of the greatest sources of an education is YouTube. I've gotten a hold of technically tough software, things that have a very steep learning curve. And my short attention span and patience would make it a little difficult for me to understand how that software worked or what I needed it to do. Well, I hopped onto YouTube. How to use ABC software. And sure as shit, there's a 12-year-old up there who's made a video on explaining to me exactly how I want to accomplish the task that I'm trying to set forth and do. That's kind of cool. It's putting the university business out of business. It's hurt a lot of technical colleges, which quite frankly, I don't agree with. I think those are just nothing more than, debt machines for students who have been led to believe that they can get a whole new education by giving somebody a whole lot of money, and then they can also join the unemployed. or start their own business and go through the struggles that every other small business owner goes through. But you can get the information out on the web. There's a ton of it out there. Yes, there's a few things that you can't find. But if you, I think, and I've never done this, but I would think that if you wanted to learn how to, I don't know, do a knee replacement surgery, there's probably an instructional video on that very topic. But should it be censored? No, it shouldn't be. Is it tough being a parent and you don't want your children exposed to some of the things that exist out there? Yeah, I get it. It's tough. But that's your job. You brought this kid into this world. It's your job to take care of them. Yes, you have to make some pretty difficult decisions. You have to let these kids find out certain things on their own. But I think as long as they understand that you cannot unsee or unhear anything, then you got to make sure that they're going to be right in their head after they go through those experiences too, so that they understand what's going on. Parental guidance is key. When you see that rating in any type of a movie that is coming out, it's a PG-rated film. PG stands for parental guidance suggested, which means that if you're going to take your kid to this movie, your kid is going to probably not understand everything that's going on in there, and a little guidance from mom and dad or their uncle or whomever, an adult who's been there, would probably make a little bit more sense. The internet at its best is, at its cleanest, is parental guidance. Hell, there's some things I see on the web that I don't need to know and I cannot unsee, and there are some horrible things out there. You can see everything from the best of humanity to the depths of humanity all in one spot, and it's a remarkable thing. But no, the government should not get involved, and the government should not be censoring it, because it's ridiculous to think that they would have that kind of control. What would happen if the government did come in and say, you can't do this and you can't say this and you can't sell this and you can't see that? And that happened. That actually did happen, by the way. Popular websites that catered to poker players were shut down. In essence, that you can still play, but you can't play with real money legally. And they snuck that bill in because it was such a popular thing that they knew that if they snuck it in as a what do they call it, fat on the bill on port security, that our borders shall be protected by this, that, and the other. Homeland Security should do this, that, and the other. Oh, and by the way, online poker is now illegal. They just snuck it in. And that's how that worked. Now, what if they started doing that with e-commerce sites like Amazon? Well, don't you think that Amazon, who makes so much damn money, would throw a fit? Right now, they're still dealing with the whole paying of the taxes, the sales taxes, which let's be honest, we probably should be paying sales taxes on stuff that we buy on Amazon. But if you're going to do that, reduce the income taxes, and let's trade off a little bit. If I want to post a picture of someone's boobs in social media, then I should have to play by the rules of their terms of service. But if I have an extraordinary amount of traffic and I feel that I can really bolster myself and the company that's providing the social media, then I should expect them to bend their terms of service for me, which has happened and still does, then that's not very fair to the rest of us, is now, is it? What's good for me should be good for everybody else. That's censorship in the internet. It's called terms of service. If you don't like their terms of service, don't use their service. Pretty basic. If you don't like their terms, don't use their service. How many of you have honestly read the terms of service of Facebook? It's pretty frightening. It gets pretty intense. They control a lot. Same thing with Twitter, Instagram, everything else like that. They own your pictures. They own whatever thoughts you put out there. Why? I don't know why they would want all of that, but they figure that they do. I guess they can figure out that they can make some money off of it, because really, that's really the bottom line. So be careful what you post. Be careful what you see, if you can. And as far as your kids are concerned, have a chat with them. Sit down with them. Show them some stuff under your guidance. Show them what is right and what is wrong. There's protective software that's out there. Sure, you can get that if you really want to go through all of that. Or just let them have free range of it. Hell, I don't care. But don't come hollering when all of a sudden your kid has been scarred by the fact that they saw Kim Kardashian's boobs. Although that butt is mighty scarring too. My God, that woman's got a big ass. So, you know, keep that in mind. Look out for your kids and don't let the man tell you what you can and cannot watch on TV. We're moving more and more to an on-demand society thanks to the internet. I think that's a good thing. It might save everybody a couple of bucks down the way. We wouldn't have to pay some exorbitant prices to cable companies and satellite providers if we just had the things that we want to watch when we want to watch them. That's all we want, right? Kind of cool. So maybe you can get involved. Cut the cable. Turn off your dish. Find you a service that's worth, you know, that offers the things that you want. And go a la carte TV. That's kind of cool. That's what the internet is. The internet's a la carte, man. Whatever you want to know, you can get. You don't have to subscribe to shit. So as far as censorship goes, you keep saying what's on your mind. I'm going to do the same, and that'll be that. Here's what's coming up on the next edition from Radioland. Let's go ahead and solve that question right now. Anybody that had any notion as to what I don't know why I'm even in this discussion, but why that even would come up, now you know. I got socks on, so I'm having that, you know, I'm having that moment, and I'm just going to deal with it, and it should be okay. So I'll be fine. But, you know, things could always be far worse and far more difficult for folks. Look at Bill Cosby, for example. You know, look, for comedians, there is no such thing as a good rape joke. I know there's probably some comedians out there that may listen to this and go, oh, you're sadly mistaken. And that may be the case. You can't just toss that off as being a thing that, oh, well, you know what happened. No. But that's kind of what's happening here. It just seems like some of these women out here are saying, well, yeah, it happened to me, but I didn't say anything. Why didn't you say anything?
Radio Memphis is an internet broadcasting service provided by PirateRadioStudios.com, Memphis, Tennessee, USA.
In the midst of our recent move to our new facilities on Poplar in the Emmons Building in Memphis, we've obviously, as you heard, Studio A is now up and running and kind of functional here. We're going to be putting ourselves in a position. We're starting to bring some more guests back in. That'll just take some time. And I think we're even going to be able to do some of the shows down there in Studio B. So that'll happen too. In the meantime, I appreciate every one of you who have been a subscriber to this podcast. You can continue to do so. That would be awesome. This is what's cool. As I go back and I do take a look at how certain episodes perform, and it's really quite interesting. A lot of you really sort of just enjoy the solo little rant that I try and keep as, you know, relatively brief. We give you a little bit of content. And when we do bring in somebody, we tend to go a little bit longer and stretch our legs. And it's given rise to an idea of what I have coming up for episode 53. Why is 53 important? Because it is the first episode of a second year of this show. And we're thinking about putting it in front of an audience, an actual live audience. And if this is something that you'd like to be a part of, drop me a line either in the comment section on rickchatter.blogspot.com or, find me. Shoot me an email. I'm easily found. And tell me what you think. We might could do this and make something out of this. I was going to be bringing in a big guest. It'll be a longer show. And we might even broadcast this live at radio-memphis.com and, you know, show the taping and then release the show a little bit later on demand. So, I mean, we've got that we're looking at. We'll have some music. We'll have some comedy. We'll have a nice big guest. It'll be a nice little variety show, something along those lines. Not quite sure. We're still in development. We're still a ways away, although it'll be here quicker than I know. What 11 weeks away? So, you know, before that comes to be a thing. So you never know what's going to happen. If this is something you'd like to be a part of, you know, let me know. Let me know what you think. And, you can come be in the audience and take part in this project, this in the show. It'd be fun. So in the meantime, tell those, where you found me. It'd be great if you could share this link to everybody in your social media. I would certainly appreciate that. It would mean a lot to me and help keep this program growing and growing. It's a good thing, and we certainly enjoy it. If you're not in the iTunes realm and you're listening on the website, rickchatter.blogspot.com, and you have an Android device, get the Android podcast player. Just search for something along those lines, and you can find it, and you can subscribe to it that way too, because we are an RSS 2.0 setup, I believe. I think is how we've set it up. So you can grab it that way and download it and listen to it at your own leisure. Appreciate you being a part of it. And that's going to do it for this time around. You heard the tease on what's coming up next week. So until then, I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.